Get started on something different, but I believe it'll be an encouragement to you. But let's start with some prayer. Father, we are, again, yielded vessels to you, Lord. We know that you're at the helm, Lord. We want to do and go and be who you call us to be, Lord. Every day I pray that we walk in this anointing, that we walk in your presence and in your power and allow you to live and breathe and do your thing through us, Lord. Let our life be about you so that we know that it is of you, that as we press into you, as we learn of you, we grow in you, the more we know, the better it gets, Father. We're just trusting you that for those things this morning, Lord. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So praise God. The power of God. And we're going to go into a new series. It's going to be awesome. The power of God. And this week is on increase. Okay, we're going to lay some foundational stuff. Okay, what we're going to do is over the course of the next few Sunday mornings, we're going to venture out on a journey together. Okay, it is something that I believe we're going to press into the power of God until each one of you sees the power of God manifesting in your life to a much greater extent than it is right now. Okay, I see something in the Spirit about this powerful unity that the body of Christ is developing right now, which is going to enable each one of you individually, okay, as well as us corporately as this portion of the body of Christ, to not only walk in a greater anointing, but to take that anointing to the nations. Okay, I believe that your friends and your family are going to notice something. I believe that your coworkers are going to notice something that is different about you. Okay, and most importantly, you are going to notice the glory of God or that manifested power and presence of God in your everyday life. Okay, more than you currently are. Okay, so what do I mean when I talk about, you know, the power of God, or say you're going to see the power of God manifest in your life? Well, the Bible describes how that Jesus, after he had risen from the dead, that he spoke some very powerful words to his followers. Okay, those words included the Great Commission, right? He said to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, but he also told them that signs, okay, or miraculous works would be present as they did. Okay, they included things like, if you know, in Mark chapter 16, it outlined some things, and they included things like laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed. It included things like speaking into the spiritual realm with a heavenly language. It included casting out of demons, commissioning angels to work on your behalf, okay, and walking with a confidence that the poisonous things, okay, the harmful things of this world that Satan tries to bring on you will not harm you. The world around you is changed for the better when you walk in this sort of power and protection. Okay, and it's displayed through your life. It impacts not just your life. Okay, that's a starting place. But really, it impacts others. And that was part of God's plan, to allow your life to be this beacon. Okay, remember that? He said at one point, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Okay, God had a plan, and it was partly that you're going to go through life with this victory mentality, that this authority that God has given you to walk out in the presence and power of God and see things happening, not just in your life, but in the lives of those around you. You know, I believe that throughout every generation, if you read your Bible, every generation has had men and women of God that have yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit to the point that He is able to flow through them. Okay, it's what makes you different as a Christian believer. Okay, it's what of that, you know, that anointing. You can tell, I can tell. You know, when you're walking in the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit is present in someone's life, there's something different about that person. You can see it in their eyes, you see it in their life, you watch, and it's like, wow. God is really at work in that person's life. So here's one of the things that I am saying over you. It's a decree. Okay, I have different things that I do for my personal study, and one of those things is I read a daily decree over myself. A gal named Brenda Kuhneman wrote some things in a daily decree that you can open it up no matter what day of the week it is and read for that day. Okay, well, one of the things that she wrote was a very powerful one that had to do with exactly what I'm talking about today. And I want to read to you that this is my declaration over you. I declare that you are the one who carries the miraculous upon you, and that you operate in the supernatural manifestations of God for this generation. I say that heavenly signs confirm the word that flows from your mouth. I decree that every hindrance and blockage that would prevent the supernatural breaks now in Jesus' name. I take authority over every man-made ideology and empty religious tradition that would keep the mighty works of God from being displayed. I say that you come to know the supernatural attributes of God that enable you to speak with new tongues, cast out demons, and lay hands upon the sick and see them recover. May you operate in the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit without restraint whenever the need arises. I say that signs, wonders, and miracles follow you in Jesus' name. Okay, that was as Jesus prayed and spoke over his disciples. He enabled them, he empowered them, and he spoke these kind of words over them. Now go forth. He said, in my name, you will. And he listed out several of these things that I've just spoken over you. Okay, that is the, when we think of living the life as a New Testament believer, okay, we're in the New Testament church. We don't live under the legality of the Mosaic laws and some of those things. We do many of them, but we don't necessarily live under that as a principle for making us right with God. Okay, but we do live under what Jesus said. He is my Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. He's the one that spoke these kind of words. When you read that in your red letter edition Bible and you read the words of Jesus, that is Him speaking to you as a New Testament believer. Okay, and He spoke these kinds of words over us so that we wouldn't just live in mediocrity or live in kind of a defeated life. Okay, Jesus gave us the Great Commission. Okay, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that is, believeth not shall be condemned or damned. Okay, He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And then if you keep reading in Mark chapter 16, it gets down to verse 19. In Mark 16, 19, it says this. It says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up to heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Okay, when we get to probably week three or four before we really get to the meat of where all this came from, God laid something on my heart. I kept seeing it in the word. And I saw where the manifested presence of God, God would do something miraculous, something there was no other explanation for. And then it would say, and the word of God grew immediately, or the number of disciples grew. So there was something that God was showing and revealing about his power and presence and how it does something in hearts. When you cannot deny what just happened, that it was bigger than you, okay? You can attribute it to whatever higher power you want. Mine is Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, the Savior of the world. I know who my help comes from. Okay, and as he did these things through his people, others would see that and say, wait a minute. Maybe everything these guys are saying isn't a big made-up lie. Maybe this is all true and that I really should be believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe I really should be yielded to his Holy Spirit and let those things happen in my life as well. Okay, that happened to me as a young believer, as a young person when I had lived a really rough life and finally gave my life to Christ. A guy took me to church and I raised my hand. That's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I did all that. And then this guy started telling me about all the things that the Holy Spirit could do in and through my life. And I watched this guy's life and things were happening. This guy was, I mean, I'll just say it, he was kind of weird. Okay, he was. He was a little on the weird side. Until I got to understand where this strength and power and hope and all these things came from that were happening in his life. Okay, that's pretty powerful when you can recognize that and be able to walk forward in that. It seems that so much of the Christian church today has lost its power. Okay, if you read your New Testament and you start seeing what these guys walked in, this anointing where Peter's walking into the temple to go praise God, right? To go worship God and like he's coming into church. And there's a guy sitting there with messed up legs. Hadn't walked since his birth. Right? Many, many years this guy had been sitting there and he's begging for alms. And Peter looks at him and says, silver, he tells him, gets his attention, says, look at me. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And he spoke that over him. And then he reached down, grabbed the man by the hand, and the guy leaps up and jumps up and down praising God. Hallelujah. Let's go in the church and praise God. And he did. And they all go in the church and praise God together. Okay, that is the same God that empowered Peter is the same God that I worship. It's my God. The same God that did all these things in these guys' life is the same one that has done it over and over and over again. If you read history, you begin to see about the Reinhard Bonnkes, the Billy Grahams, the guys that walked in this, the Kenneth Hagins, the, you know, these guys that they didn't take no for an answer. They understood that this was written to them. They applied it to their life, said, I've got that same Holy Spirit, and I'm going to walk through life with that. Okay, some of them started Bible colleges and began teaching and, you know, sharing all the stuff that God was doing in and through their life. And now there's millions of people out there, if you go around the world, that are walking in that exact kind of anointing. Okay, maybe you don't run with that circle right now. Maybe that's not, you know, you're not buddies with the, you know, raising the dead kind of guys. I know personally, shaking hands with and had conversations with people that have risen. One guy has risen 3 people from the dead. Okay, I'm not saying that, you know, that's what I go out to try to do every day, okay? But I believe in that. I know that it's true. I have seen it in the Word of God. I have seen it in real life. I've experienced it, many of it, these things for myself, and I can't deny it anymore. So the Word of God grew in me. It got in me, and I'm going to share some of that with you over the next few weeks. So brace yourselves, okay? A lot of the church has what I say, not so much just lost the power, because the power is still there. But we have laid it down, okay, by choosing not to walk in it. You know, everything with God is by choice. God didn't just come down and zap you like a bug and make you get saved. You had to make a choice to say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. You had to confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Okay, at some point you made a decision to do that. Okay, well, many Christians today are living in kind of a powerlessness, okay, settling for that mediocrity, you know, kind of mundane life, compromising their faith, trying to overcome life through carnal means. Okay, the world has inundated the church to make us think that we have to run to carnality, to all the ways of the world. Anything apart from God, let's try that first, and then we'll go to God. That seems to be the Christian motto. Okay, so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to lay some foundation for allowing the anointing of God to flow through your life. Okay, and then we're going to press into the deep things of God. So if you're ready for that, say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, we got some people that are ready. Let's go. Okay, we've been on this series the last several weeks. Does anybody remember what it was called? That's why we're changing topics. No, I'm just kidding. It was called The Christian Life. Okay, and it was all about some things in our life that if you were spiritually sensitive even a little bit, you probably saw some things or reminded of some things in your life where you're kind of falling short. You need to make some changes. Okay, you can be more compassionate than you've been, right? Or you can be more loving. Okay, more truthful, more honest. Let true words come out of your mouth. Okay, you can be more generous than you have been. Okay, all of us, myself included. Okay, you can be more careful about the words that come out of your mouth. Okay, remember that was a big one. A couple weeks touched on that. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. About letting the words that come out of your mouth be for the use of edifying, building people up instead of tearing down. It's so easy to tear down. Now, you have to consciously think more about building up. Okay, there's some characteristics possibly in your life that you found that they might line up with some of the behaviors on the other side of the fence more than they do line up with what's on this side of the fence, which if you're a Christian, okay, the lost world on the other side, they don't know God, they live that way, those are their behaviors. And so for me to be engaging in that is not very becoming of a Christian. Okay, there were things that we read even in Ephesians where it said, let not these things be once named among you. In other words, don't even give people the idea that that's a possibility in your life so that they won't say those kind of negative things about you because you're so far from it that it doesn't even factor in to their mind. Okay, those kind of things do not express who you are now in Christ as a believer. Okay, but now we're going to shift our focus a little bit from some of the things that maybe we need to change, some areas where we know we can grow. We had our eyes open that, oh yeah, I need to grow in that. Okay, we're going to shift our focus a little bit to where the strength, power, and ability to make those changes comes from. Okay, because you can muster it up and do a little bit. You got willpower. God gave you some strength there. Okay, it is. We've got emotion. We've got other things that we can, you know, our pride or other things can kick in. And we can accomplish a few things on our own. But we cannot accomplish what the power of God can and will do in our lives. Okay, generally as Christians, we know the correct answer to that question of where does our strength come from? Okay, if I said that, where does our strength come from? You would all say, it comes from the Lord. It comes from God, right? Okay, we know that. We know that God is the one that helps us. So then my next follow-up question is, but do you practice that? Okay, do you actually practice the fact that your strength and help and power comes from God? Okay, maybe to some extent. Where do you run to? Okay, that's my question. Something comes up in your life and, you know, you've got a couple of choices. You get all mad about something and you get worked up. Okay, you can go and drown your sorrows. You run to a bottle or you can run to God. Okay, you've got something that is troubling you and you don't know how to handle it. You're not sure what the next step is. You can run to God, get on your knees, ask Him, talk to Him about it. Okay, or you can run to Google, get some wacky answer, right? Or you can, you know, you go wherever. You can go to other things besides God. So that practicing what we know means when I know that something has come up in my life, where am I going to run to? I'm going to my King, my Savior, the Creator. Okay, that's where I want to keep my hope. So much of the body of Christ is walking in, I love this term. We came up, somebody mentioned it. I had already heard it, but it was confirmed at one of the small groups a couple weeks ago. Powerless Christianity. Where people are Christians, but they don't walk in the power. The devil has got power over them. The devil is guiding their thoughts and they're thinking all these bad things and their actions are lining up more with what the enemy would want. The enemy is still killing, destroying them, and they're giving in to that, okay, rather than walking in the way that God wants them to walk. Okay, that's powerless Christianity. If you remember Jesus, this is a little bunny trail. We got time, right? Okay, a little bunny trail. If you remember in the beginning, remember Adam and Eve and they fell and the Lord speaks to them and gives instructions and says, you know, upon your belly thou shalt go, he said to the devil, right? And he said, his heel shall bruise your head. Okay? He was talking about Jesus. Okay? Where's the devil for Jesus? Smack under the point of his heel. I don't know if you guys deal with snakes much. Hopefully not. I've seen a few. I've been this close to a few. If I had anything that I could do to keep that snake from hurting me, besides shooting it or something like that, I'm going to put my heel on its head and hold it down. It cannot bite me. It can wrap around my leg, do its thing, do whatever it wants, but it ain't going to bite me. Okay, if it's an anaconda or one of them big boa constrictors, that might not be a good idea. But even at that point, if I step hard enough on that head, it's still not going to wrap around me and squeeze my leg, right? Okay, that's where I want my heel. That's where my Lord has the devil. Okay, so when we walk through life and he has the devil in that position, why do we go through life? He's my Lord. He lives within me. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so why do I have to go through life like the devil's bigger than me or like he's bigger than my God? Okay, the devil, Jesus put him in his place. And at one point, we're going to read that scripture in the future, but he said, the devil shall by no means hurt you. Okay? He lost that ability to do that, and yet we allow him to do it. Okay, we give him place. Remember, another scripture, give no place to the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, that snake's coming, you kick it. He's like, I ain't messing with that guy. Okay, put it into perspective, however you got to think about that, but get it so that you recognize that God has put you in a place where you can walk in the authority and power that he has given you, and you do not have to succumb to the enemy of our souls and accept defeat. Okay, we don't have to live a defeated life. I don't care what area it is in your life. Doesn't matter to me. Jesus is the answer. Okay? You need health, you need healing, you need finances, you need relational help, you need a better job, you need whatever it is. I know the solution and the answer is my Savior. Doesn't matter what it is. He is the go-to for all of these things. Okay? We don't have to give in to weak faith. We don't have to grow accustomed to sickness and you know, torment in our life and failure and compromise. I'm not saying it doesn't come. Does it come? Okay, that stuff comes at us. But you resist the devil because God's not torturing you. Don't kid yourself. He's not coming at you to try to make your life miserable. I'm going to teach you a lesson. Baloney. Okay, you'll learn from some of the mistakes that you've made along the way. Okay, you're going to grow and you'll see some areas in your life. The last few weeks we've been going through it. You know, speak no corrupt, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying them and minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 4, 29 or 30, right in there. I cringed at that myself because I want to speak those kind of words. So I see that there's an area in my life where I can grow, but I'm not going to condemn myself. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I've got Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. So I don't have to be condemned. If I see that, I recognize it, I sense it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's not who I am. I'm this side over here. I'm on this side of the fence with Jesus. Okay, and I'm going to walk that out. Okay, so much of the church given growing accustomed to things that are not of God, sickness, failure, compromise, and then as an unfortunate result, the lost world around us that was already walking in all that has started drawing Christians after them. Christians are like, oh, what has the world got figured out here? And they're going after the world to get solutions to things that God has already given us. Okay, if we stay with him, we're going to be better off. I don't know. I would think you guys are here this morning. That tells me something. I want to be a part of the one that is growing in faith continually. I'm not there. I mean, I'll speak boldly, but I'm still learning, okay, as I'm going through this. I want to be continually growing in faith and desire of myself and those around me to be the remnant of God found faithful upon the return of the Lord. I want when Jesus comes back to get his bride, I want him to say, oh, yes, there is still faith on the earth. Okay, it's right there. There's a pocket of them right there. Okay, now that being said, we're going to look up because our redemption draweth nigh. We're going to get our focus on our Savior and what he can do in your life, what he's already done in your life. Okay, the strength that we need to not just endure unto the end. Okay, I want to endure unto the end because Jesus said, blessed are they that endure unto the end. However, that endure word, okay, I'm going to redefine that within the scope of what Christ says it means. Okay, that means I'm going to learn from my mistakes. I'm going to keep growing and I'm going to be persecuted. I get that. You want to persecute me for my faith? Go for it. I will rejoice. Okay, because my Savior was persecuted and I will be too. He said that. Okay, so I want that a strength to not just endure unto the end, but I want to thrive in the days that I have left on the earth. You know, we shared a little bit. I might have mentioned it on Sunday. I know I did on Wednesday about, you know, going home to be with my family, and it just reminded me how short life is. You know, I don't have that many days left. I don't want to live in a halfway life. I want to go all the way with Jesus. Okay, it's kind of like the passage up here says that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And that's where I want to be, is in that refreshing, in his presence. That means at his feet. Okay, if it means on my knees in a spiritual sense or even a literal sense, you can do that if you want. But I'm just saying you can get there in a spiritual sense, get alone with God, get quiet with him and say, God, my life is yours. Let's go. I'm in your presence. This is you speaking to me and he will speak into your life. It's like David proclaimed in Psalm 121, verse 2. David said, "My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And he knows where his help comes from. That's his source. We have so many sources. It's unreal what we have. To have more in our life, we have to look at the true source. Okay, when I say more, I'm talking about, remember the title of this? That was a few minutes ago. The power of God, increase. Okay, if we want increase in our life in any area, now you fill in the blank what God is working in your life, where you're at. If you need increase in your life, you've got to look at the source of increase. Okay, to have more faith than we did yesterday means we're going to look to the source of our faith. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Okay, so who is the author and finisher of your faith? Jesus, right? He is. That makes it sound like if I want more faith, if I want to understand God, if I want to know the Bible, if I want to be able to walk in the what he's asked me to walk in, if I want to walk by faith and not by sight, I'm going to go to the source of my faith. Okay, that means cleaving to Jesus. That means getting closer to him. It means learning of him and getting to know him. It means talking to Jesus. Now, you're not weird if you talk to Jesus. I talk to Jesus every day. Okay, you got to talk to Jesus. He's the author and finisher. Okay, we've got to draw near to him, squeezing him so tight that nothing else can get in between us. Okay, I know I've known this for years, but something the other day I went to a training, and while I was there, I was asking the Lord to show me some new things or to remind me of some things. And one of the things that came just point blank was that if you get so tight with Jesus, sin cannot get in. Okay? That there, it's like you're, you know, if you've ever put shingles on, if you put the shingles apart from each other, rain can get in the middle. But overlap them a little bit, right? Get them so tight, put on there so well, nothing's going to penetrate through that. Okay, the only way that sin can get into a believer's life is when they've allowed too much space between them and their Savior. Okay, Jesus does not give in to sin. How many know that? Okay, sinless, perfect. Okay, Son of God. The devil tried to get at him. The devil tried to tempt him, give him some of the best, biggest things that he could think of, the pride of life, the pride of lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. He tried to get him to go after those kind of things. He gave it his best shot. But what happened? Did Jesus give in? Even momentarily? No. He rebuked the enemy, put him in his place, and triumphed over him. Said, "No, under my heel. That's where you belong." Okay, Jesus did not give in to sin. That means that Jesus has the strength to help you overcome any area that may be trying to lead you astray. Jesus has that strength. You're struggling? Get closer to Jesus. Connect with him. Find his people. Spend time in his word. Listen into worship. Praise him. Talk to him. Spend time with your Savior. Hey, you want to quit being jealous or quit being prideful, or quit being anxious, quit being angry? Draw closer to Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus never gives into any of those things. Ever. I'm going to stick with him like glue, right? He's the guy. He's the one that we know that can do this. If you desire to be more humble, okay, to be more hospitable, maybe you want to be a better friend, a better husband, a better father, today's Father's Day, Jesus knows how to do those things. Cleaving to Jesus is your solution. To grow in faith or to develop in any other area of your life, to walk in a greater power, to walk in more fulfillment in life, is going to require looking at and drawing steadfastly from your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where that answer comes. The disciples who walked on earth knew where increase came from. Do you remember when it came to Jesus? Let's read some of this. He asked them, they asked Jesus literally, Lord, increase our faith. Okay, these are the guys that are already with him. You would think they'd have pretty strong faith, but they're seeing him do stuff that he's saying, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And so Jesus has given this to them, and they're like, I don't know if I'm there yet. Lord, increase our faith. Okay, and they speak these words to him. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Starts there, and it says, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Okay, Jesus is telling them that. That's why they're saying increase our faith, because I'm not there yet. Okay, but if he's saying it's to do it, he wouldn't tell you to do something you can't do. He's not that way. He tells you to do these things because he wants you to walk in that. So where do you get that kind of faith to, you know, he said if you had faith like a mustard seed, that's pretty tiny. So where do you get that tiny amount of faith that allows you to speak to a tree and uproot it? Comes from the author and source of your faith. It comes from Jesus. Okay, you want more faith? You want more out of life? Okay, you want to improve? You want to get better? You want a more fulfilling life or anything else that you want, any other kind of increase? It is going to come from the Lord, the source of increase. Okay, now the world has a lot to offer you, but it cannot offer you what Jesus can. Okay, there's lots of options out there. Remember the woman that went to Jesus? She had what the King James calls an issue of blood. She had this issue for many, many years, and she knew. She told herself, the Bible says that she told herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Okay? She struggled. Do you remember how long? 12 years. It says that she struggled, went to doctor after doctor, spent every penny she had trying to be healed. And in 1 second, she was healed when she reached out and touched Jesus for free. How many things do we do? 12 years, sow everything I got into it financially, and it's just not getting the job done. Reach out and touch Jesus. He's got that power. He has that and wants to give that into your life. Okay, stop trying to change things for the better on your own strength. Okay, you can't do it to the extent the Lord can. Okay, I'm not against doctors. Don't take me wrong. Okay, I'm not. There's a time and a place. But so often we tend to first choice instead of first choice Jesus, which is where it should be. Okay, if he tells you to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. Okay, there's great doctors out there and they can do a lot of things in this world. But Jesus can do, I think, still even better. Okay, you're the vessel. God is the potter. Okay, so we don't tell the potter what to make. Okay, some of you are struggling in your faith because you won't give up that little bit of control to God. You know, you're still trying to figure things out on your own. You think you've got a plan. Hey, God is saying, I got a better one. Let's try this. And sometimes how many of you have ever let a child, if you got kids, let them do something on their own so they'll kind of learn that natural consequence. Buddy, it just doesn't work that way. I think God has to do that with us on occasions. I don't think he wants to. I think he wants to say, no, do it this way, and we go do it, just like we would with our kids. Okay? But sometimes they've got to go through some stuff. They're figuring that out. Okay? We're along that same line with God sometimes. We have to figure some things out. Give in to his ways and see what happens. The psalmist said in 85:12 in Psalms, it says, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Again, Psalm 115:13, he said, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Okay, increase. If you look it up, it was in the Bible like 136 times or something. It's in there a lot. Okay. Even as the Apostle Paul taught people about how people come into the kingdom of God. He said that he planted the seeds. His friend Apollos watered the seeds. But then it says, but God gave the increase. Okay? In other words, you can till the ground. Okay? You can plant the seed. You can even water that seed, but there isn't anybody in this room that can make that seed grow. That's a God thing. Okay? And there are times and things in your life right now that it has to be a God thing for it to come to pass. Okay? You can do all your part, but in the end, it takes God. That's our dependence on Him. That's why we yield to Him. Okay? At some point, you've got to turn things over to God and trust Him. As we close this morning, I would like to do just that. I'd like to turn some things over to God. So if you would, if you want to stand up and pray with me, let's do this. We'll stand up as we close out. Hey, now I'm not going to go around the room and ask personally what area you would like to increase in, but I would venture that every person in this room has some area of their life where they would like to see some increase. You'd like more friends in your life. You'd like more, you know, understanding. You'd like a better job. You'd have some need somewhere that God can do an increase in your life. Lay that out before Him right now. Okay, put that out there and say, God, we need this. I need You. Hey, Father God, we do need increase in our life. Father, I know that we need the kind of increase that only You can provide. Lord, we need You to take us beyond ourselves, to take us deeper into You and closer to You than we've been. And even that's going to take You, Lord. I don't know how to do it, but You do. Lead us there. Show us Your ways. Teach us how to live out this life that You've called us to here on earth. And Father, I pray for the manifestation of increase in every person's life in this room. Those that listen in online, let them be blessed, Lord. Let the good and the increase come from You, Father. And then let us recognize where that increase comes from. Like the psalmist, let us say, my help comes from the Lord. God, You are my strength. You are my high tower. You are my source. Father, build us up in faith. Help us to grow and to acknowledge You in every area of our life. Help us lean on You. Trust not in our own understanding. Help us go and live out the principles that You have laid out in front of us, Lord. We're trusting You to lead us this morning. You take us further than we could ever go. You heal us when we spent everything we had on other stuff, Lord. You take us in the right direction. We yield ourselves to You as yielded vessels of You and Your glory, You and Your power. We praise You for these things. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Next week we're going to get into some of the